Hey, I'm Ella Gray, and welcome back to the Key of E podcast. This week, I couldn't really decide what I wanted to talk about. I feel like there's so many artists that I eventually want to talk about, and I couldn't decide, like, what should I do first? Who should I talk about next? I love talking about albums, obviously. I tend to talk about an album every single week, and I was listening to some, like, old albums that I wish I could find on vinyl. From whenever I was a kid, and kind of having this bit of an existential moment of, like, did the music that I liked as a kid, is it really good or, like, exceptional songwriting and production, or was I just a kid and then now I just love it because it's nostalgic? And so I had this idea of talking about a few artists that I loved whenever I was younger, that were kind of, like, geared more towards, like, young teenagers, I guess, and talk about those artists and see if they really do hold up or if it's all just, like, purely based in nostalgia and fun memories that I had whenever I was younger. Because, honestly, when I was a kid, I didn't care much about what made a good song. I just cared if it was fun and if I could sing along to it and have a good time. So this week I'm going to be talking about Bridget Mendler. She has an album called Hello, My Name Is. This came out in 2011. You probably know Bridget Mendler from, I mean, like, a million different things. Good Luck Charlie, Lemonade Mouth. She was on Wizards of Waverly Place. She was in a ton of things. Started on Disney, got her fame from Disney. And I also want to take into account some things about this album because when you're signed to Disney, you don't necessarily get a whole lot of creative freedom. However, a lot of labels don't give you creative freedom. You're kind of contracted. Not kind of. You definitely are contracted to, hey, if you don't have an album out this year, that's tough. You're contracted to put out an album, so you better hurry it up. So Disney's no different, of course. Bridget was signed with Hollywood Records. That's the label that this album came out with. And it was very interesting to see because whenever I was a kid, I just assumed, like, if somebody puts out a song, they wrote it. And that's not always the case. A lot of the biggest hits of our generation weren't written by the artist that sings them. And a lot of them also were. So it really just depends. And also, I don't think that there is anything wrong with you not writing your own music. That's fine. I think that performing and singing a song and recording it is equally as notable and honorable as somebody that writes songs. I think that both sides of the industry are so important and one couldn't exist without the other and vice versa. And it was very interesting for me to look through these songs and see which one Bridget had a hand in writing. I think that that's so interesting. I mean, she was so young whenever this came out, obviously. So this was her just, like, dipping her toe into pop music. And I really hope that we get to see more from her in the future when it comes to music. She has been very busy over the past years. I mean, clearly. She's a mother. She's a wife. She has her doctorate from Harvard Law. Like, okay, she's busy. I get it. She's had a few songs since the release of this album back in 2011. She would have been 19 whenever this album came out. I mean, that's how old I am now. I don't have an album out. Just saying. I guess I shouldn't compare, but whatever. So she will go through these, obviously, whenever I talk about each of the songs. But out of the 12 songs on the standard edition of this album, she had a hand in writing Ready or Not, Top of the World, City Lights, and Hold On for Dear Love. I couldn't find any writing credits for Blonde, which is another one of the songs. So she got that opportunity creatively to help write in those. So I thought that it would be kind of fun to look back at some of these songs, take note of some really good lyrics that are really well written, and also some of the cringy lyrics. I feel like this could be a fun game to play with your friends, if you're of age. This could definitely be a drinking game where you drink or take a shot every time there's a cringy lyric, because there definitely are some. But also, let's remember to be kind. This was also 13 years ago. She had to follow this brand of being a Disney star. So keep that in mind as I go through this, but I really want to see if this is a good album, if it holds up today. And also, I want to make this into a series and talk about more artists that I listened to whenever I was younger and kind of talk about how being a child star can obviously, you know, influence the style of music that you release or even how you turn out today. I mean, she's turned out amazing. I mean, she hasn't stopped working since, like, she stepped onto the scene. I mean, I'm just so impressed by her. I don't know how she has the time to do this, honestly. And I just feel like over the past year or two, some of these songs have been brought back into the public eye because of TikTok and because these songs are fun. So obviously, I feel like the average listener, especially if you're around my age, would definitely remember Ready or Not, which is the first song on this album. Ready or not. I feel like this song is so catchy, obviously. It's so nostalgic, but it's also, like, lyrically very, like, syncopated, so it makes it, like, really easy to sing along with, especially, like, the first verse. I'm the kind of girl who doesn't say a word, who sits at the curb and waits for the world. I feel like that kind of rolls off the tongue. It's also a really cute way to, like, start the album, to be like, hey, guys, like, these are my songs. This is who I am. I also like that we get a little, like, flashback into, like, what this time period was like and how, like, we look back at songs that we, like, listened to at our middle school dances and we're like, what are these lyrics? Like, what are they saying? This is so strange. But as I'm reading this, what catches my eye is, and I'm kind of shy, but you're super fly. I could be your kryptonite. Okay. It's very telling of the times. And I don't even think that that's that lame of a lyric, because the 2010s, like, that's very, like, Black Eyed Peas coded, I feel. Like, we loved singing about, let's have the time of our lives tonight, let's go out and party and not have any regrets, and then also, like, calling people fly. Which is really dumb to look back at, but, like, I get it. Like, we all liked it. I also can't tell if this is a cool line or not, because I think it's kind of, like, camp in a way. Like, I think it's a little, like, tongue-in-cheek. In the chorus, when she says, ready or not, here I come. I like your face. Do you like my song? That's either really cute or, like, really cringy. I think it's up to the listener. I think it's funny. And, like, kind of quirky. I don't know. It gets the job done. I feel like it gets the point across for sure. I'm going to skip around a little bit and talk about another song that kind of went a little bit viral on TikTok a while back, which is Hurricane. There's a really old video of me singing this song. If it ever sees the light of day, I think I would, like, have to go into witness protection, honestly, go underground. This melody is so strong. I feel like I still sing it. This song definitely holds up. I don't think that it's just nostalgic. I mean, it obviously is, duh. But I just feel like if this song came out right now, it would be perfect for TikTok. I mean, obviously, it is perfect for TikTok. Because it got so much attention a while back whenever everyone was making videos to the song. And they're like, this song is so great. And yeah, I think a lot of that was based in nostalgia. Because we all remember it from when we were young. But I also think it's just still so catchy and it gets stuck in your head. And it also feels like what being young and free feels like. And I think that's why we relate to it so much. Because it makes us remember a memory from whenever we were younger, which I know that that's what nostalgia is based in, but I think sometimes nostalgia could be really toxic in a way because we hold on to things that are like, we're never going to get them back because it was in the past. But also I think it's really healthy in this way to listen to music and remember whenever we were younger and remember just that like childlike sense of wonder that we had where we could dance around our room and sing along to these songs. And yeah, I'm going to talk about some of these lyrics and break some of them down. I'm boarding up the windows, locking up my heart. It's like every time the wind blows, I feel it tearing us apart. Every time he smiles, I let him in again. Everything is fine when you're standing in the eye of the hurricane. I mean, just like the chorus melody, it's so catchy. I'm boarding up the windows, looking at my heart. It's like every time the wind blows, I feel it tearing us apart. Every time he smiles, I let him in again. Everything is fine when you're standing in the eye of the hurricane. Here comes the sun, here comes the rain. Standing in the eye of the hurricane. Here comes the sun, here comes the rain. Standing in the eye of the hurricane. I want to talk about Forgot to Laugh. This song is actually really catchy, and I think production-wise, it's pretty strong for it being 2011, and I feel like the overall, like, pettiness of this song and just kind of, like, the apathy in this song is, like, actually really, like, quirky and fun. In the chorus, we have, "If you drive away, hope you get a flat tire, get stranded. If it's goodbye today, know you're leaving here empty-handed. 'Cause I've got my own life and you're just a punchline. If you go, you're a joke. And I forgot to laugh." I don't know. She's just like, hey, it was fun, but also I'm good without you. I'm good on my own. Thank you. That's it. It reminds me of like Lost the Breakup by Macy Peters, where it's just kind of like there's a level of confidence too. In the bridge when she says, "Like a diamond in a mountain of coal, I'm the girl the guys can't find anymore." I just think that's so cute. I feel like that holds up for sure. All of these songs are just so fun, and I'm trying to look at these songs from, like, I don't know, like, if this came out this year, and I am the age that I am now, because when I was a kid, I loved all of these songs. That's why I think that this, like, concept is so interesting of, like, are these songs nostalgic? Or are these songs, like, actually good songs? Next, I'm going to talk about Top of the World. This is one that Bridget had a hand in writing. I think it's so catchy. There's something interesting to me about all of these songs being very, like, syncopated lyrically, especially in the verses. It makes it really easy to sing along with. This album has a lot of kind of like, I guess not necessarily like rapping as much as like talk singing. In the verse of Hurricane, we hear her do that. In the bridge of Rocks at My Window, which we'll talk about later, there's like a bit of like a cheerleading moment, it feels like. I just wonder if that was like, I wonder whose idea that was, if that was like the producer's idea or whoever was writing the song. Or if it was hers, because I think that it's really interesting and it makes it really fun to sing along with, especially if you're, you know, younger. But I get how some people, obviously, if you listen to it back, you'd be like, that's a little bit cringy. But I think that it's really fun, honestly. She says, "You got that fresh way of talking. It could be 4 in the morning, and you're making me trip, my heart skip the beat. You know that this is amazing. Please tell me why you're hesitating. Let's risk it all, risk the fall tonight." In the chorus we have, "Take the rope and climb, close your eyes, love will take you high, we'll be sitting on top of the world. Baby, you and I, we were born to rise, so just hold on tight, we'll be sitting on top of the world." I mean, obviously this is a basic rhyme scheme. Of course the target audience of this album isn't expecting deep and meaningful and metaphorical lyricism. It's just fun, I think, and the melodies are so strong. I'm going to talk about City Lights. "Every time that you think you've lost your shine, just remember nothing's brighter, you're the city lights. Every time that you fade into the night, just remember you're the fire, you're the city lights." I think that that's so cute, honestly. I feel like when I listen to these songs, the main thing that I think of is like, songs like this, just being like inspirational for, especially for young girls who are just like listening to this, because that's how I felt when I would listen to these. It made me like excited and want to do music more in my future. And I just feel like as I was, I guess, like, researching for this episode and then some episodes in the future, I just think of how, like, pivotal these albums were for me, because they made me realize how much I love albums, because, you know, I would buy them on CD and I would listen to them in the car, and it would just be, like, the only thing that I had to listen to, you know, on a long car ride. So I, like, absolutely loved it, and I feel that way about some Taylor Swift albums too, and some other albums that I'll go on to talk about in the next couple weeks. But I just feel like they made me have such a strong love for music, and I always wonder whenever I think about these songs if it really is like a nature or a nurture thing, if it's in my genetics to love music and to feel like this is my purpose, or if it's the way that I was raised and the music that I was introduced to, and having a cool mix of, like, obviously what my parents would play, stuff from like every decade before I was born, and then songs like this that I would feel like I found on my own on, like, iTunes or whatever, and that I would get them on my iPod and I would feel like I discovered somebody and then I would listen to these songs on my own. And even, honestly, even my mom, she liked this album too. I was telling her I was gonna do this episode and she was like, I liked that album, it was really fun. And I'm like, I know, it was really fun. So I understand that I'm a little bit biased, but I just think that this song in particular is just really, like, cute and fun, and also, like, you know, positive and upbeat. I also feel like I'm, like, offending 8-year-old Ella by talking about the negative parts of these songs. I guess that's what I have to do on the podcast. I'm not crazy about the bridge, the repetition of everybody knows that everybody glows like the city lights. I'm not crazy about that. It feels a little bit like cheap songwriting. But, like, after, there's this, like, really cool, like, little, like, solo. And I'm like, that could have just been the bridge. Like, just have a solo. Because I feel like when in doubt, if you can't think of words, put a solo in there. Or repeat a pre-chorus, you know? But, I mean, what do I know, I guess? But if this was my song, I would have cut that bridge and just done the solo. Because I think it's pretty cool.
Everybody knows that everybody glows like the city lights.
Next, I'm going to talk about All I See Is Gold. The production on this song is so pretty. I feel like if this was a Taylor Swift album, this would definitely be a track 5. It reminds me a lot of, wow, how many times can I talk about Taylor Swift in an episode that has nothing to do with Taylor Swift? This song reminds me of Tolerate It, in a way, and I think you'll see whenever I talk about some of the lyrics. This is definitely my favorite song lyrically on this album. I think this one and 515 are my favorite. I don't know, there's just like a maturity that goes along with these lyrics, in my opinion. I've got a sea of flowers, but all these hours are just mine alone, no one's home. Buy me the finest china, each time I dine it's always me alone, with the heater on. This first verse kind of reminds me of like a relationship that's kind of falling apart. I think the hardest thing for people to understand is like, we all give and receive love in different ways, and so this kind of feels like, I don't know if this is what they were going for, but this is how I see it, is like, somebody is giving you everything that you could ever ask for, like, material-wise, buying you things and filling your cup in that way, but then when you need them to be there, they just aren't. And in the chorus, like, she's saying, like, all I see is gold, like, I see all these nice things, and from the outside, this should look perfect, but the one that I want to share them with isn't even here, so I'm just by myself, so it's not even worth it. It doesn't even matter. Like, what is the right answer here? What's supposed to happen now? You're probably somewhere sunny, and I'm here wondering if you dream of me while you're by the sea. Of all the people passing, your face appears in everyone I see, but you're not with me. And now I just can't tell if that's just the way you felt when we were just beginning. It's kind of this, like, idea of, like, do you miss me whenever you're gone? Like, when did the love go away? When did we fall out of love, I guess? When did this happen? And I don't know, I feel like this is such a mature song compared to, like, all the other songs. The reason why I think it feels, like, tolerated is she's saying, like, when you're here, you're not here. Like, you're not present in this moment. So there's really no point in keeping this alive, because she says, and when you hold my hand, I don't feel anything. All I feel is cold, and all I see is gold.
And when you hold my hand, I don't feel anything. All I feel is cold, and all I see is gold.
I mentioned that All I See is Gold and 515 are my favorite lyrically, but I have to say that my favorite song on this album is the Fall song. It's, like, way more musically complicated than I imagined it would be. Whenever I was listening to this album back in preparation for this episode, I was like, there's, like, a key change going into the chorus, and the key changes the chorus and the verses. I don't know, that just blew my mind. I was not expecting it. I don't remember that from whenever I was younger. This song is so fun. It's also a fun concept because we all know what this is like. She's talking about the time of year when the seasons change brings back old memories, and then you get all sentimental and you're like, God, I thought I was over this. Like, what's going on? She says, there'll never be a rhyme or reason for when it rolls around to this season. When all the leaves start their turning, you start to burn again in my brain. October's so overwhelming. And all of my friends, they tell me, November, it should get better, but I still see you all over the place. I was very shocked at, like, how cinematic this song is. I was honestly pleasantly surprised. I feel like I would definitely listen to this song today, for sure. I think, God, this is such, like, this is my favorite, for sure. I feel like this song definitely holds up. It's not just based in nostalgia, for sure. I'm gonna move to Love Will Tell Us Where to Go. Every time I hear a song with this concept of, like, leaving wherever you are currently, that's the best way I can describe it, getting annoyed at where you are and wanting to like run away. There's something so like magnificent about that idea of like, I've got to get out now. I'm going to run away. Whenever like you were a kid, did you ever like pack a bag like full of stuff and just like thought about like running away? I never did that. I knew people who actually did run away from home. I never had a reason to. Like my household was healthy, thank God. And I had a good childhood, but I would always just think of like, what would I bring? Also, where would I go? If I ran away when I was like 7 or 8, I would go to the pizza place that was like a couple blocks away. And I would probably, I wouldn't have had any money. They would have probably given me pizza because they knew me. I would have done that and then I would have just came back home. I don't know. Anyway, so I guess I've always liked the idea of like running away. And even now, like I feel like a lot of the songs I like are like, I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna like get in my car and drive. Like, where are you going? Where are you gonna stay? A motel? You're gonna rather be at your house. Anyway, I like the idea of this song. I feel like we all have like the feeling to like keep moving. I don't know if that's like a, I don't know, some smart person tell me if that's like in our nature to like not settle down and like move and live different places. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. She says, I know exactly how you feel. It doesn't matter what you say. I see the sun begin to set and we gotta get away. I'm the Bonnie to your Clyde. You're the moon and I'm the tide. I want this for all of my life since the night that we got away. Someone should make, like, a spreadsheet of all of the times when people talk about Bonnie and Clyde in songs. Because it happens a lot, but I still don't get sick of it. And, like, why them? Like, do we not know any other, like, who's another cool criminal duo? We need more of those. I'm gonna talk about Blonde. I feel like this song is really fun. It's a little bit cheesy, but who cares? It's a fun, very stereotypical song about not all blondes being dumb. Who the heck invented that? That's so weird. She says, hey, I'm not a college grad yet. Girl, yes you are. Yes you are. Tell young Bridget that. I'm not a college grad yet. There are some books I haven't read yet, but I could quote a little bit of Shakespeare in my sleep. But there have been those times when I've clearly forgotten how to spell words like R-E-E-D-I-N-G. I've said this before, I don't know how I feel when people spell in their songs. She does it again in Rocks at My Window. Sometimes it feels like cheap songwriting, but other times it feels fun. Feels like you're trying to fill space a little bit. Overall, I think the song is harmless. It's very cute and a little bit quirky. I'm a blonde, so excuse me. I'm a blonde, I get crazy. And everybody knows for a little more fun. I like to play it up like a dum 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 dum. Speaking of spelling in songs, I'm going to talk about Rocks at My Window. Okay, this line makes me laugh. Sitting at home, I turn on the TV. It's all reality, and I don't want to watch stupid people. Okay, we cannot just nonchalantly skip over that line. In the chorus, she says, we can run away for the weekend, but I'm here alone. Wish you'd go throwing rocks at my window. We could count the stars from your car hood, but I'm here alone. Wish you'd go throwing rocks at my window. See, we got another mention of running away. Everybody wants to run away. In the second verse, when she says, it's been too many movies sinking into me, so now I wait for my Prince Charming, but I've got this picture in my head of the chapel for our wedding, so I guess I've got it bad. That's so relatable. And listen, I know I keep saying, like, back then when this album came out, I know it hasn't been that long. It's just been a little over a decade. But, like, think about how many songs, like, when I read that, I was thinking of how many songs are, like, that delusional now. Like, In Love Is Embarrassing by Olivia Rodrigo, that's the first one I thought of when she's like, I'm planning out my wedding with some guy I'm never marrying. I'm not going to marry this guy. But it's fun. But it's so fun. The level of, like, delusion in lyrics today, it just proves how, like, hopeful we are. But we know that it's, like, ridiculous, but we're still so hopeful because we have to keep those dreams going. So I'm like, okay, that for sure, that line holds up completely to music that's very mainstream today. Like, we know how crazy we are, for sure. Okay, here's where she spells.
T-H-O-W-I-N-G, you throwing rocks, I wish you were throwing rocks, rocks. T-H-O-W-I-N-G, you throwing rocks.
See, this is when our game continues, because that's a little bit cringy. Maybe just, I don't know, repeat the little post-chorus melody. Not to hate on it too bad, because 8-year-old me ate that up. That was so fun. It was so catchy. It still is catchy, but now looking back, I'm like, ugh. I thought about, like, reviewing albums from, like soundtracks from movies that I liked, but I'm like, they're supposed to be cringy a little bit because they're like for kids. So like, I can't, like, that's dumb, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna critique that because they're fun. But like, the reason why I chose this album to talk about is because like, some of these songs really do hold up. Some of them kind of don't. They're a little bit corny, but some of these songs really do. I just have a few more songs. Next is 515. This is another one of my favorites. It was whenever I was a kid, and it still is. Another song about running away. She talks about messaging someone on a BlackBerry. That's awesome. I miss BlackBerries. There's something about pressing buttons that's, like, really fun. Like, there's no more, like, buttons. Like, I want to press a button on, like, a keyboard, you know? She says, up all night BBMing you. BlackBerry messaging. 515, not a minute more. Ready for the knock on my door. 515, not a minute more. Ready for the waves on my shore. And at 516, if you're not with me, you can catch me in the next city. Never knew you meant that much to me until 515. I'm gonna end with Hold On For Dear Love. This is the last song on the standard edition. Bridget also is credited as a writer. This song is another one that was, like, surprisingly really mature for how old she was whenever this album came out. I was very pleasantly surprised at the lyrics. I feel like they're very grown up. It wasn't what I was expecting, or even what I remembered. I didn't really remember liking the song a whole lot. It didn't really stick with me, probably because it's real, and it's not very fun, I guess you could say, compared to the other songs. She says, I've been staring at the ceiling, watching the fans swirl around, cause I can't hear my breathing. The words we said are still too loud. And we've been drifting off so far, and I don't even know where we are. I've been weighed down by the silence. All these words that don't come out. Been tempted just to write it and say I'm sorry without a sound. If we're not stupid, we'll both hold on for dear love. Fight our way through this. It's not worth just giving up. 'Cause I've still got some fight left in me. And I don't see us ending this way. If we're not stupid, we'll both hold on for dear love. So I feel like, to conclude, all of these songs are so fun, and they're just so nostalgic. I feel like the ones that I would listen to today, and this is just my opinion, are the fall song, 515, and All I See Is Gold. And honestly, maybe Hold On For Dear Love. I think that those hold up really well today. They're very, like, lyrically mature, and they're also really fun. Obviously, Hurricane is another one that's just really fun, and I'm glad that it kind of, like, resurfaced on TikTok. And yeah, it was so much fun to listen back to all of these. I can't wait to continue this series with other music that I really liked as a kid. And I encourage you to make a nostalgic playlist of songs that you liked whenever you were younger, because it's very healing, as dumb as that sounds, for us to go back and listen to these songs and remember when we had less cares and less things to worry about and life was just a lot easier. But thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week.